Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about the second episode of season two of Into the Badlands.
Do you remember the title?
Yet again, I was super lazy and did not write the title, even though it flashed on the screen. It was something about an eagle's claw.
Force of Eagle's Claw.
Yes, I got it! Force of Eagle's Claw, right?
I think the claws is plural.
Oh. Well.
Eagle's Claws.
Alright, no, now I've
whatever, we were close enough.
You
don't trust me. I see how it is.
Claw. Okay, let's see. It is claw singular. Singular. What? I know. That's weird, isn't it? But it is singular. Okay, so. Force of Eagle's Claw.
What does that
mean? I mean, we both know the titles are nonsense, but. Who is the eagle, I guess, if we were to call someone an eagle? I mean, there's multiple barons that are fighting over power, per usual, but I don't know. I would never call Ryder an eagle. He's not majestic or powerful.
Ryder is like a donkey.
No.
Well, what is Ryder then? A zebra?
Ryder is...
giraffe.
I don't like the curse on the show, but he's a sad excuse for a human being.
Okay.
Anyway, who would be the eagle? Is anyone taking flight? I mean, I guess Sunny.
Technically,
and
Sunny. Yeah.
Baji escaped. Yeah, they escaped.
But is it the Force of escape. Eagle's Claw?
Right. Force of Eagle's Claw. I was pleasantly surprised by Lydia's like fighting skills. That was really.
Oh, cool. I was shook.
You were shook. I was here for that. I was like, yes, Lydia, yes.
Actually, no, I feel like that was my general Jane. Impression of the episode. Yes.
What's the general question?
Impression.
Ah. Okay. Anyway, let's stop with the BS. What does this title mean? Because we all know
it means
none
nothing.
Of these titles mean anything. So, shall we go chronologically? Shall we go...
let's go plot by plot. Let's start with Sunny.
Sunny. Okay, cool. So, we start off with that kind of overhead shot of the camp that Sunny's being kept in, right? And it's very...
I'm pretty sure it's the same shot as last episode.
It's all very Mad Max. And, you know, then they're fighting in... Well, okay, so, to be fair, I have not seen... Like, the older Mad Max films, I've only seen the, you know, Fury Road.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm pretty sure you could compare it to Mad Max Thunderdome, or whatever that one is called. Because isn't Thunderdome, like, some gladiatorial type battles and stuff? Anyway, it was just
I really
feeling
can't
very
say
Mad
that
Max.
Isn't my
like,
area
look at
of
this
specialty.
Desert, or whatever, wasteland with all these, like, wastelander, wretched people working outside or whatever. You know, even though I watched this only a couple hours ago, I'm still trying to decipher my crazy notes.
Okay, let me break something down, right?
Break it down.
I watched this episode yesterday, and I was like...
For the first time?
Yeah. And so I was like, I am just gonna enjoy the episode, I'm not gonna take notes, whatever. And I took notes anyway. That is me in a nutshell. Not the point of this story. The point of the story is that I didn't take notes in the beginning because I was like, I'm just going to enjoy this. And we get 4 or 5 minutes in. And in this case, Sunny and Badgie have literally already escaped the camp. Four or five minutes. Yes.
I was just so impressed. You're right. It was a pretty quick escape.
It was so clean. I was like, are we going to get stuck in this camp for a long time? Heck nope. We are out of here.
Oh, thank God. They finally listened to our prayers of, like, literally, why was Sunny stuck in the same place for the whole season? And now it's like, chop chop, let's move, let's go, let's get out of here.
Yeah, this time for a journey, okay?
Thank God.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but I was just, it was kind of beautiful. Like, we got the turn of events of which, instead of Badgy selling out Sunny, now Badgy is stuck with Sunny again.
Oh yeah.
They have that awesome fight sequence, mm-hmm. With the two of them still chained together. Yeah. They escape from the, whatever he's called.
Did he even get a name? I don't think
so. What was he called? The champion, who gets a very gory death. And then they're out of there, and it's, like, literally 5 minutes. I was like, oh my god.
Was it me, or was this episode even gorier than usual? I just feel like season two has been shaping up to be a much gorier season than season one. But I don't know if I don't know if that's just my personal taste level.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I feel like they're, like, upping the amounts of gore. Because I was starting to get, like, when I was watching, like, I was like, okay.
They have, like, their little warnings of when there's mature, violent scenes.
Oh, because and you're I feel watching like there it. Have been... I don't get those mature warnings. Oh, okay. Because I don't like, have TV anymore. So, like, there have
been more than usual, I think.
What?
There have been more than usual.
I see.
That was pretty gross, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, once you saw that there was a rotating fan, you knew
someone
was going to go through the fan. Obviously, it's very unrealistic that he would have been, like, I guess, atomized, vaporized in such a fashion, because, like, it would not... Like, he's a big dude. That fan is moving fast, but there's no way he's spray. Like, he's turning into spray. You know what I mean?
No, like, it's not, like...
But this show was never meant to be a realistic... Like, no, that's not
clearly.
I think, in general, I like their vibe and their chemistry. Like, Badgy and Sunny, like, I feel like Nick Frost was a lot funnier this episode.
Yeah,
He had some better rapport. It was good. I
wish Sunny would talk more, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's his personality, but, like, I want them to, like, bond.
But I'm sure they'll get there, right? Because, like, Sunny's that kind of character, but eventually he started talking to NK a lot, right?
Yeah, well, MK couldn't get him to shut up.
So I feel like eventually they'll get to that. They're not quite there yet in their relationship, Melissa. You gotta give us some time.
I know. I'm just impatient.
But yeah, like, the fight scene was great. I love how when they started working together and, like, kind of like Pigsy or Badgy, whatever we're gonna call him.
Yeah.
I know his name is Badgy. When Badgy ends up, like, kind of... He doesn't, like, crush him, but he does,
yeah,
like, end up...
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was such a good shot.
Like, teamwork makes the dream work.
Teamwork makes dream work?
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Oh, okay. I don't even know if I've... I don't think I've heard that before, but that's... I feel like I should have. It doesn't seem
whatever.
Bad original. Anyway, whatever. Once we got to that, like, scene with the fan, right, like, we all knew someone was going to go through the fan at some point. But this was because I think my stream was getting a little bit buffery or weird, but I was like, it's haircut time, because weren't bits of Sunny's hair getting cut?
I don't know if his bits of Sunny's hair got cut, but I had the same thought, was like, you know, Sunny, you could do with a trim. I don't know why we're so fixated on his hair.
Because, like, I don't know. For me, hair is the biggest way I identify people. Like, if someone changes their haircut, like, even if they get a little bit, I, like, don't know who they are. It's really bad.
That's okay. I'll never change my hair.
But, yeah, I, again, I'm not sure if I saw his hair getting cut by the fan. Did you? Because...
I didn't see it, okay. No.
Because my stream was buffering a lot, because it was still, like, trying to load, and I don't know if he's getting his hair cut. But anyway.
I don't think so, but, like, I had that thought.
Glad to know we're on the same page. Hold on. We're sticking to this particular plot line, right? Okay, because I was going to jump to another one, but I'm going to stop myself. There's so many different plot lines now that they're
bringing back. Right, that's the thing. That's why I want to keep them separate, because, like, it's so confusing if you keep mixing and matching. I thought that the show did a pretty good job at keeping them separate, though.
Yeah. It wasn't some kind of, like, Star Trek Into Darkness mess where, like, jumping back and forth was, like, horrible. No, it was
yeah, fun. It was well composed, I think. Because, like, we started with long, introductory scenes for each of the plots. So we have this long, not long, but, you know, like, the sunny escape sequence. And you have Tilda with her discussion with that guy, Waldo, Wally.
See, whatever. I wrote the same thing. I was like, Birdman, Waldo, Walter, what's his name? They didn't even say his name.
I don't think they said, yeah, they didn't say it. And I was like, oh, God, if
it's
I
been
know.
Like a whole, like, there was like, what, a 1 year break between season one and two? Like, just say his freaking name.
Yeah, once. That's all it Come takes, on, guys. Man. I mean, I could look it up, but I don't think the show deserved that.
Dang.
But no. So then and we have Lydia, and we have, like, all these different plots. We have MK. And so we each, it opened with, like, a decent-sized chunk of each of them. And then it started kind of mixing and matching them more towards the end. And it really helped me keep them separate when I was watching.
Yeah. No, yeah, they didn't do too much jumping back and forth, like, going through my notes, it looks like it basically started with Sunny and Badgie, and it ended with Sunny and Badgie.
Yeah, that's true.
So, to kind of go back to them, I love Badgie's character. Honestly, he's gonna... I mean, I know Vale was my favorite last season, but, like, Badgie's getting up there to be one of my faves of this show. I think, generally, like, in the journey... Typically, in the Journey to the West story, typically, the Pigsy character is portrayed as, like, stupid. So it's it's interesting that they're choosing to... I mean, it makes sense also, plot-wise, that they would make him, like, a clever guy, because how else could you survive and, you know, get around the Badlands and be a good guy and all that good stuff.
He has to contribute
right,
to
the
team.
But I like that they are kind of going this other route with this character. Like, it's very strange, because I feel like it's almost, like, a weird reversal of, like, last season, because last season, Sunny was the one who was kind of, like, teaching and guiding MK, but now it's kind of like Badgie's sort of kind of in that position with Sunny. Like, he's like, dude, you don't know anything. Like,
that's fair.
Like, I thought you, like, you didn't know about this border wall thing, and then, like, I know people who can get me through, and, like, you don't know Jack, so.
He doesn't have the people skills. He has the fighting.
He really doesn't. He's more the brawn in this operation.
How on earth Badgie's more did the brains. He woo Vale? That's the real question. How did he woo Vale?
I don't know, man.
Vale's smart. She is too smart for him. For this.
Well, see, like, Sunny's smart, but
I know,
like, not necessarily book smart.
I'm not dissing Sunny. I love Sunny.
I don't think Sunny's dumb or stupid.
No.
I just think, yeah, he kind of lacks people skills.
Right, that's what I mean.
Which comes with the territory of killing people all the time, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, it can.
Partially. It can be. I guess he could be
Hannibal
Lecter, on the other hand. But anyway. But yeah, Badgie, love his character. I don't know, his little line about, like, why do you always walk uphill, like, cracked
that
me up.
That was amazing. So I wrote that down, too.
It was so good. It was so good.
And then now I noticed that, because after that, there was another scene or something with him walking uphill, and I was like, wow. I mean, I get it visually, but, like,
no, he was just a lot funnier this episode, which made me happy, because I know last episode I questioned, like, whether he was going to be a very funny character or not, but he's bringing it now, and...
I don't find him funny, exactly, but I just think he has a good rapport with Sunny. He needs that.
I'm easily amused, so... Most of his... I just love how, like, he's just, like... Just the way Bobby's just kind of... Yeah, like, he's just, like... Sunny's, like, trying to beat open a chain with a rock, and he's just casually taking a bone from, like, a rat and picking the lock, and he's just very nonchalant about everything. And, like,
you
see Sunny is, like, not thinking things through or thinking that Badgie can be useful to him, and he just, like, picks the lock. Oh, now you want me to pick yours? Okay. It's, like, sass is there. It's kind of low-key sass, but it's there, and I live for it.
There's enough sass.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they come across the border wall, and that's, how did we not know about this? But Sunny didn't, so I don't feel too bad about never learning about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the outlying territories now, and so they're trying to
So are we assuming that, like, so Badlands, it's set in America, right? Like, is that the general assumption?
Supposedly.
Or does it not even matter at this point? Like,
I don't know if it matters, but supposedly America, I think.
Because, I mean, when we're talking about America and borders.
Yeah. Really. I mean, all I could think of when I saw the border was the Great Wall of China, but...
I mean, because it has all this, like, lush kind of forest around it, seemingly, yeah. So it doesn't really... It doesn't really feel like the Mexican border, but it also doesn't really feel like it would be the Canadian border, you know? I don't know. I'm just trying to see, like, does it... Because, you know, Baji says, oh, this was constructed way before, you know, our time. So
but that my doesn't assumption mean would be that it would be... It doesn't mean it has to be.
Oh no, it doesn't have to be at all. I just thought it'd be kind of interesting, funny, or strange if it was supposed to be a specific border, like a specific country border, you know?
But yeah, anyway. I mean, we don't know how like America got divided up in this world. Right. I don't know if we ever will find out either.
I doubt it.
Maps aren't that interesting.
I doubt it.
I mean, I'd be interested, but I think that's just me.
Yeah, I'm gonna just look something up here.
Okay.
Nothing pops up. Okay. All right. So that's. I don't know. I don't really have too many other notes about Baji and Sunny because that was really their two scenes.
Yep, that was basically it.
I maybe mentioned this last episode, but I will. I'm very much looking forward to Baji finding a rake and using it as a main weapon, because if they do that I will be dying of laughter, because that's like Pigsy's weapon of choice is like a gigantic rake.
What about a hoe
type like farming implement? Don't make that face Melissa. But yeah, no, what like face? He just has like a weird, he just fights people with a rake, so like if he gets a rake at some point in the season, I'm gonna like start cracking up so much.
I guess it sounds like he would rake people across the coals.
Oh my god. So yeah, any more notes about those two characters?
No, I don't. Their interactions were good, but relatively self-explanatory.
Yeah, I mean, they're just starting off on their journey, and they don't want to be with each other, but they do.
They do. You know what it made me think of? C-3PO and R2-D2 in the beginning of A New Hope.
So who's who? Oh wait, no, Sastastic C-3PO is gonna be Baji, right?
Yeah.
R2-D2 just makes beeps.
Yeah, so that was why he's Sunny. And Sunny's just like, I'm gonna go off by myself, and then C-3PO's like, fine! And then he's like, oh.
You don't know what you're doing.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
So, and since they were Baji was saying, like, so how are you gonna find this woman of yours, why don't we transition over to Vale and Quinn?
Sure. That was so weird, interesting, freaky.
Oh, dude, this... Oh, that was so... I don't even know what to say about what's going on with them. I just... It's... You know I hate Quinn. And this was just, like, they just... Every time I think he can't possibly get any worse, he somehow gets worse.
Yeah,
like, as a fair. Human being. I'm like, why? I'm just... Anyway, so let me start from... Let me calm down and start from, I guess, their first scene, which I'm trying to find.
So the Baron has his own, like, little personal army, and they're hiding underground.
Right.
And somehow
so,
Vale is there.
I was just thinking, you know, like, how was Quinn able to keep all this stuff under wraps for, like, months? It's been, what, 5, 6 months? Blabbed. No one's talked. Like, I don't believe that. Or there is, at least there would be some kind of rumors, like, oh, maybe Quinn isn't dead, maybe something else. Like, you cannot, there's no way no one blabbed. You know what I mean? Like, I find it unbelievable that no one has any idea that Quinn is around.
I can buy that his own army is still loyal, because he kind of inspired loyalty among the people, like, in season one,
mm-hmm.
generally. Like, in among the Clippers, but... I can't buy, like, his survival. Like, even if Vale saved him, I just don't get how it happened.
Oh, yeah, what the heck happened to the tumor?
Yeah, what happened to the tumor?
Did we just completely forget that the tumor was a thing?
So, technically, she could have just operated on it, but that seems so ridiculous. But I'm just going to say that's what happened in case we don't get an answer. And then, how did he summon, like, an army when he was dying?
That's what I'm saying. No, it doesn't make sense. How did these people
find out? It really doesn't.
How? You were just like, was it just like a weird thing where like Vale's all locked up and you're just trapezing around and being like, oh, hey, I know that guy. Let me just, like, whisper in his ear, like, hey, do you want to join my secret army? And then if he doesn't join, I'll kill him. Like,
you want to join my secret army?
Seriously, though.
You can kill animals. It'll be fine.
Basically, like, what is this?
It is ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
He's even crazier, yeah.
He should be dead. Quinn should be dead by all accounts. Quinn should be dead.
I feel like maybe this isn't true, but I feel like the show would be more interesting if Quinn was dead.
Yeah. Because
he leaves an interesting gap.
I'm just done with Quinn. I don't want to see him anymore. He's just awful.
Well, you're going to keep seeing him.
I know. Just when I was so happy when they finally killed him. But they didn't even finally kill him. They just kind of pretended to kill him.
Okay, so, like, Vale, she's kind of a prisoner. But she also, like, is the one who saved his life.
Right, so she does have this weird kind of power and status within that group. Because, like, literally, he was like, yeah, if any... Right, when he stabbed that guy in the eye and killed him, right? He was like, if any of you guys, you know, disrespect... As if looking at her creepily... I mean, like, sure, it's awful that that guy was looking at her creepily. But, like, really now? Like,
yeah, like, calm yourself.
Anyway, it doesn't extend so far as Quinn will just let her leave, you know? That's not the extent to which his respect extends, but...
Yeah.
Anyway,
Well, I mean, like, I get it from Quinn's perspective, but from Vale's perspective, I guess that, like, Quinn provides protection. I do understand that.
Yeah. But that's literally the only... Everything else is awful. And I was thinking, like... Again, I did not go back and rewatch the finale... Did I miss a whole thing where Vale and Quinn met up? Like,
no, you definitely didn't.
What?
I feel like I would absolutely definitely remember
out of
that.
The blue and totally like. I guess every once in a while it's okay to pull stuff out of the blue, but like this is too much. You gotta like some foreshadowing, some hinting, some something. You can't just spray it on me that Vale healed Quinn. Like I know that was a thing that was happening in season one, right? When she was like, "Oh, you have a tumor." And then Quinn's like, oh, I know that you know that I killed your parents, but you're still going to operate on me because you're a good person. And blah, 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 we are slaves to our natures, blah, blah, blah. Like, I remember that stuff.
Yeah.
But that happened, like, that didn't happen in the finale. And she still could have been like, hey, I see an injured Quinn. I'm just going to ignore you and let you die and move on with my life. I guess I do understand, like, he does provide protection in this crazy world where, like, nomads are going around, like, chopping people to bits and, you know, there's all sorts of crazy people wandering around this world. But, like, I can see Vale seeing an injured Quinn being like, okay, I'll nurse him to health and then he can provide protection. But, like, girl, Vale's smart. She somehow has to know, like, endgame? Like, are you thinking about big picture endgame? I don't think so. Like, I'm trying to, like, logic this out in my mind. It's not working.
Okay, so, like... If we get answers, I won't be mad. I guess that's my takeaway. If we get an answer as to, like, why all of this stuff ended up the way it did, I won't be mad that it ended up this way.
What if we get bad answer?
I think a bad answer is better than no answer, but obviously I'd prefer a good one. But, like, when they don't give an answer, it's the Sherlock all over again.
I had to say, I was like, Sherlock.
You can't provide a mystery and just not answer it. Like, and just pretend that it didn't exist.
Yeah.
It just... I keep forgetting that
Quinn had a tumor. And that was, like, the biggest point of, like, season one. Was that he had a tumor and he was dying and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Being almost killed magically destroyed his tumor. Yay!
Maybe. You never know how the Badlands work. Can we just talk about his accent for, like, a New York
minute? Oh, yeah. It was so bad. I was, like, I started hearing his voice again. And I was like, God, no. Why? Why?
It's so... I don't know if it's just inconsistent or it's just, like, indistinguishable. It doesn't sound like anything. It just sounds...
It's just, like, too much. It's, like, the only thing I can really say. It's just too much.
Too damn
much. And I already hate Quinn, so, like, don't make it any worse. But, yeah. So, more stuff about the whole Quinn, Vale, creepy, weird, disturbing relationship thing. calling the child, calling Henry our little conqueror is, like, so gross to me. Like, I know he had all that creepy, weird possessiveness over Sunny, right? Because he was like, I found you as a child, and you were, like, you know, alone and broken and weak and blah, 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 and then I raised you to be this incredible assassin, fighter, clipper. And it's just, like, I could see that same thing happening all over. Like, he clearly has his eyes set on making Henry be, like, Sunny, but, you know, minus the betrayal part.
Well, yeah, but even more than Sunny, because Sunny was just his regent, right? He wants Henry to be, like,
his heir,
you know, the next Baron, yeah.
And it was just like, dude, like, it's just so creepy, it's gross, and nasty. Manipulative, and just awful.
It leaves me with very mixed feelings towards Vale, because, like, I appreciate that she named him Henry. Like, it was a nice callback to the fact that, yeah, Quinn sort of killed your parents, so that was kind of awkward. But she's kind of stuck in this really passive role.
She's a freaking, like, damsel in distress now. I don't want to see, Vale be a damsel. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm hoping that she'll find, she's a smart woman. Or at least she was a smart person in season one. Hopefully she stays a smart person in season two. I hope she finagles some way to get out of there, because I don't know how she's, like, totally okay with just, like, letting all this stuff happen.
Yeah,
like, it's just, it's so kind of disturbing and awful, and it's just Quinn is ew. Quinn is, like, absolutely awful and the worst, and it's just like, please stop touching Vale and being creepy. Yeah. you're just gross.
I mean, there were some sexual advances, I think, in season one. But
you mean, like, from Quinn towards Vale?
Yeah, not, like, overtly, but kind of, like, sneaky.
I mean, that's Quinn for you, though.
Well, yeah. He's gross.
Yeah. Remember when we were talking about how he, like, was covered in blood and then started having sex with someone? It's like, yo, what the heck?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so gross and unhygienic. Gross on, like, so many different levels.
Yeah.
But
it is unhygienic, I'll give you that, too.
Yeah, I was just, like, there's a lot of my notes are, ew, blah, 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 or blah, 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 ew. So, blood baptism, ew. I was, like, seriously, like, emotionally distraught when, like, that was going down. Because I was, like, somehow I envisioned that they were going to place a baby in, like, a freaking, like, I don't know.
Blood bath?
Yeah, like a literal bath of blood.
So did I.
Thankfully, they didn't go that far with it, but I was just like, oh, please, don't make this happen.
Instead, they pulled the Lion King.
Yeah. I noticed that the sign to Quinn's little hideout says West Avalon. I don't know if that's... I tried Googling it to see if it was a reference to anything, but...
I don't know.
I mean, Avalon is... So, Avalon is... in Arthurian legend, the place to which Arthur was conveyed after death. So, but, like, that doesn't mean anything to me. Or at least I don't see how it has relevance to the story. So I guess it's just, like, you know, just, like, random signage showing that, oh, this used to be a place, you know, before.
Well, I mean, maybe because, like, Quinn practically died.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're viewing Quinn as King Arthur, which is a super weird thing, but anyway, I just hate Quinn, and you know that.
You know that.
And then
I know that.
Remember how we started off the? I have mixed feelings about, like, the whole setting where Sunny and Badgie were kept, because it just felt very strange to me. Like, why are these children staring down a grill and jeering at the prisoners below? That is so bizarre. But whatever, other than that weird choice, that's how it opens, right? The episode opens with us peeking through that, like, those bars down, like, into a window below, down to where the prisoners are. And that's reflected in the scene where Vale and Henry are in that cell, and she's looking up, right, through a similar, like, kind of window to the outside world with bars on top, right? So I appreciate bookends. I appreciate a good bookend.
I didn't catch that.
That was a very good bookend right there.
Yeah.
Also, Vale's skin is flawless. That's true. Oh my god.
You know, for someone who just gave birth, she looks pretty hecka fine.
Well, don't... I mean, aren't there some hormones or whatever-ish that, like, kind of make people look better when they're pregnant? Or well, healthier? She's not pregnant. I mean, there's, like... Isn't there, like, an actual scientific thing?
I've not
It's yet. Not just, like, the whole pregnancy glow thing. But whatever. It's neither here nor there. Do you have any more notes on Quinn, Henry, Vale?
Well, this is not going to end well, first of all.
Nope.
For
who, though? For, like, everyone? Anyone?
Yeah. Exactly. So Quinn is the one who's saying that Sunny abandoned Vale.
Oh, my God. Please stop, Quinn. You are a piece of freaking work. I
know.
I just hate you so much.
But then Vale is all like, well, Sunny wouldn't abandon me. And so then Quinn's like, well,
he's probably dead.
I'm like, oh. I see your logic. But
you know, I mean, I don't think Quinn. I feel like Quinn was better at playing mind games last season than this season. It felt kind of
Know if he's playing mind games.
You know, I guess it's just for us as
maybe
the viewers knowing what we know, which is very like not convincing at all. Like, I don't know. Vale needs to get the heck out of there. So, like, I feel like the only way she can do that is by having hope, which Quinn is trying to take away. So.
I mean, yeah, but...
So, yeah, it's not exactly, like, manipulative mind games per se, but...
But, like, I don't know if it's... If is it in Vale's best interest to escape?
True, right?
Because, I don't think it is.
We do see that the world of the Badlands is a very dangerous place, right? Again... We saw the nomads do a bunch of slaughtering earlier. Pretty much, like, you're either going to die, or you're going to get sexually assaulted, or both, or it's just not good.
Death
I mean,
is
again,
inevitable.
I think it sucks. I just hate seeing her so passive,
yeah.
Because, I mean, she does have skills, but they're medical skills. So it's like, we just have to wait for Sunny and Badgie to get to them and whisk them away. Like, it's just like, ugh.
I want Vale to rescue herself, but at the same time, I can't see her reasoning through leaving, because it's just so...
We haven't seen that she has any fighting skills whatsoever.
Right, exactly.
So...
And she has a baby, so that doesn't help.
No.
I feel like she would fit in well with the Widow, but... She
well, that chance passed, though, right? The whole thing where... Right? Because she was with the Widow before. She could have...
Well,
teamed up with her in a weird kind of way, or double-crossed her, or done something. But she didn't. Now she's freaking stuck with Quinn. And I'd rather be stuck with the Widow than be stuck with Quinn.
In this case, I don't think the Widow knows that about the whole poison thing, so...
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
it could... But no, but I'm talking about, like, not if I was Vale. I guess it's more like, as a person, like, I would rather be stuck serving the Widow, or, you know, being part of her group than... because Quinn is a piece of work, like I said before.
The Widow at least thinks somewhat rationally.
Yeah.
Quinn's insane.
What does Quinn think he's going to... How does Quinn think he's going to gain back what was lost?
I have no idea.
Like, you have a small secret army, and you're going to, like, reclaim... I mean, because already the Widow took a bunch of your people... And then Ryder took the rest, and you have a small fraction of that. Like, how do you think this is going to work?
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, let's say that he's going to raise Henry as a super-duper killer.
And this is going to take freaking forever!
Yeah, exactly. Who has 20 years to wait, or 15
years to wait?
Your
tumor is going
to
get you before that. Although, again, we apparently
let's pretend
forgotten that
the
tumor
doesn't
happened.
Exist.
The tumor has
but
not
he's
been mentioned.
Not a young man.
Tumor has not been mentioned once. And yeah, he's gonna die. He gotta die.
Well, we all are.
Well, yes, but, like, Quinn hopefully will die sooner. And, like, I really do mean it. Please die, Quinn. Please die.
I don't think he's going to die.
I don't think he's going to die. But I wish
That's the problem. Like, when a show comes really close to killing off a character, you know that they're not going to die for a little while, at least.
Unless there's some, like, weird Joss Whedon breaking the rules, whatever-ness of that convention. Or does he do that too? Does he almost kill people and then they stay on for a while?
I can't think of anyone who he almost killed who then soon after died. That's a, I don't think you broke that, but I don't know. Oh, by the way, it's just me. Or did it sound like Quinn's army was saying Bangarang?
wait, oh, they were saying Henry.
I know.
It sounded like Bangarang to you?
Henry, Bangarang. I don't know. It sounded that way to me.
Nothing alike. How, that is, however, a very good episode title, so I will write that down.
Okay. That's all I have for Quinn, Henry, and Vale.
Yeah. So who shall we go to next? Should we go to, should we go to Lydia or should we go to Ryder? I feel like that's the next logical step once we go from Quinn.
Let's go to Lydia. I think that makes more sense because all of Ryder
is based on parts, so it comes after
in Lydia's story. Thing. So I just had it under one little Lydia time.
Okay. So let's talk about Lydia. So
we were just talking about it last week. I was like, do you think we'll see her again? I was like, here's an answer. Yes.
I was pretty sure we're gonna see her again. So we're at the cult wedding or whatever. And it's all peaceful and happy and like, you know, they're all wearing white except for all the colorful fruits on the table and blah blah blah. Lydia for some random reason is wearing blue, as she is wont to do.
Maybe that's just like her favorite color.
I think they're just trying to do the Breaking Bad Skylar thing, because, like, Skylar wore blue, like, almost in almost all her scenes. But, anyway, for some reason, Lydia's wearing blue, whereas everyone else is wearing white. And, you know,
the wedding's all nice, and Lydia's happy. The wedding's nice. Lydia's the happiest she's been in a long time, blah, blah, blah.
That's what's called tempting fate, girl.
Like, yeah, stop it.
But, yeah, so she's giving those totems to the newly married couple and saying, like, you know, as long as these are not broken, you'll be happy for the rest of your lives or whatever. And I was just thinking in my head, earthquake? But, you know, whatever. And then after, I wrote down, because this is honestly how I feel about the show. Happiness in this show is so fake. Like, I feel like the overall tone of this show is, like, there is hope, but...
Yeah.
I wouldn't say there's happiness. There's hope, but there's not happiness. Tonally, for the most part.
I would agree with that.
No, there are some parts where, like, happiness does show up, and I do feel like it's, like, genuine or, like, worked into the plot well. Like, I guess there's some gentleness and with Vale and the baby or things all around that sort of, or, like, around that. But, yeah. I mean, it just struck me as, like, seeing the cult as, like, they're all, like, emoting, like, oh, we're so happy. And I just took me out of it a lot because, like, this show is so, like, not that. It's all, like, doom and gloom and badlands and everyone's awful and going to die or going to kill. So it's, like, it's just so, like, that. So I was just, like... Like, I guess I get it. They're a cult. That's, like, their thing. But it just was, like, within the context of the show, it's, like, it's too much. Does that make sense?
I get it. In the show, happiness has always been extremely fleeting. I mean, you do get, like, moments of it, but you don't have sustained periods. I feel like part of it is just, like, the pacing is that, like, we're constantly getting pushed forward. And so what that means is that we don't have time to kind of revel in what we're in. So if there are happy moments, we just kind of push past them.
Actually, I was just thinking, there was actually a really good happy moment in season one. Remember where Tilda and the other butterflies, like, discover that music and are dancing?
Oh, yeah.
That was actually a pretty nice moment of happiness.
But then remember how it ends.
Right. It's just, it was shut down immediately.
Right, exactly. I feel like there are moments of happiness, but they're almost always bookended by, like, misery and suffering.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite moments. I know, right? It's called Badlands, so we should have known.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite moments of the show thus far is when Vale is teaching Sunny to read.
Yeah, I still remember that. It was so cute.
It was so cute. So, like, that's cute. What sold me on that ship. Like, why can't we just have a show of that?
Because then it would be boring. Or not the same. Or I don't know.
Well, can we have a little more of that? Because, like, okay.
Yeah. It's just all doom and gloom and awfulness.
We have 8 episodes in the season. So we've had 2 already.
Please, dear God, like, just can we just make sure that Sunny and Vale meet before, like, before the end of episode 4? Like, that would just make me happy, please.
No way. I was hoping they would meet before the end of this season, because that's...
Yeah, I know, realistically, that's, like, that may or may not happen. I'm just, like, I mean, in terms of, like, getting those, like, adorable moments between Sunny and Vale, like...
Ew.
What are you doing?
There's a bug on my desk.
Oh. Okay.
I don't want to kill it. I'm scared.
Are you done taking care of the bug?
Yeah.
Okay. So back to the show.
No, what I'm just saying is that I want the Vale and Sunny to be reunited. I just don't think it's going to happen very soon.
I mean, the show, it can be, some things can move so fast and some of the plot points can move so friggin' slow. So, like, I really don't know what we're going to get.
I mean, but. I feel like the separation between Sunny and Vale is one of the most tension-filled plot lines. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like they're not going to just abandon that.
I see what you mean.
But what I want is, I don't want it to take the whole season for, like, all of the different plot points to kind of converge. Because right now, all of our main characters, pretty much, are separate.
Right.
Which, for the first few episodes, is fine. The pacing was good. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, I hope that this doesn't sustain itself throughout the whole season.
Okay. Just letting you know, I'm experiencing some audio-visual problems, but in general, it seems, like, fine. Like, I can hear you real-time, even though the image is a little bit off. So, more stuff about Lydia. So, you know, she's, like... I just wrote classic Lydia stealing the spotlight, because she does that thing where she's, like, congrats to your marriage. And also, let me talk about how happy I am. And I was like,
let me talk about me for like one quick sec.
Yeah. I did love how she was, you know, I just was like totally cheering her on when she was fighting off the nomads.
That was amazing. I don't think we've ever seen her fight before.
It was great. I kind of wrote down that I guess it's not super integral, but like I wish we got more backstory on the cult or the religion or whatever. I think it just was very surface level, like, oh, here's a cult and they're pacifists and they suck. Like, okay, that's really boring. I mean, I guess it could have been too much backstory, but I wanted something deeper out of
it. Has that. Some connection with the MK, like, master, don't they?
Oh,
I feel like
maybe.
That was hinted at the end of season one. Maybe. I feel like we're gonna get more. Yeah. At this point, I'm not too interested or really worried about it.
Right. I mean, I wasn't, like, super, super worried about it. It's just, like, it would have been... I don't know if we're going to get back to them, but if we don't, then I'm going to be kind of, like, let down. But I think we could have explored that
a little bit more. If we don't get back to them, it'll be in too surface.
I was really impressed by the lack of flight or flight reaction within the group, because I'm, like, even though they're, like, all pacifists and, like, you know... only the gods can kill people and what, like, there was like no fight or flight response whatsoever. People weren't even like, they weren't even pacifists. They literally just sat there and took it. Like, at least you could run away, you know what I mean? Like, what in the heck? So
it was weird.
It was very weird. Like, you're not even gonna try to run. You're literally just gonna sit down and let them kill you. Like, that's, if I was a pacifist and I don't want to fight back, that's like a whole other thing. It's different from just like giving up and dying.
It was weird.
Like, they literally could have run away.
And it was a little confused. I mean, like, obviously the audience was confused and like surprised that they didn't fight back, but I feel like Lydia shouldn't have been, because I feel like that's one of like their
things. She knows, she should know, because
if
she,
everyone is on the
culture,
same page here, she
what
should be also
is
on the same
expected
page.
Of her, unless she totally forgot because she was away from it for so long. But that's like a BS excuse.
In her,
let me see if I have any
in
more.
In her reinitiation,
stuff on.
They must have skipped that lesson.
What in initiation?
In her reinitiation, they must have skipped that lesson.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean,
and
I do
felt
love
sad.
How
the, like, the husband died, the new husband.
Yeah, that was kind of awful. You know, I was watching, right after I watched Badlands, I went to the gym and King Kong was on screen, and the same thing happened on that, in that movie, where this guy just gets, like, literally, like, speared out of nowhere, and it was just like, it was just really, I was like, oh, this literally just happened on Into the Badlands, or I guess reverse. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it was a 2005-ish remake
of King Kong. I watched that movie.
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. I'm trying to remember what exactly we were speaking about.
The husband getting killed a la King Kong.
Right, and then I saw something happen similar when I was watching King Kong earlier at the gym. Yeah, I mean, came out of nowhere and was awful and tragic. But, like, do we have any emotional connection to any of these cultists? No. So, eh. I mean, you do get that reflection with, like, oh, maybe Lydia's thinking about her. Her old relationship with Quinn, perhaps. But that's really the only...
I mean, as, like, a human, I have compassion for them.
Sure, but, like, sure.
I guess the reason I felt sad at that particular moment... It's... Like you said before, the Badlands suck. They're all bad. And you don't get any of this optimism. You don't see much of it.
There's hope in the show, but there's not really optimism. I feel like there's... I don't know why I feel like there's, like, a subtle difference, but I feel like there's a subtle difference.
No, I get... I do understand that, but... I feel sad that the world is... Okay, it's not hardening them, because clearly they're... immune to that.
Well, they all seem as jaded or cynical as the other members of their world. But who
knows?
Maybe
they probably should be.
Maybe they are.
They probably should be.
Yeah.
But it's sad watching people who are happy
innocent.
Have bad things happen to them, I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
the reaction was clearly bad.
What did you say?
I said the reaction was clearly bad.
The reaction? You mean like your reaction or?
No. The reaction to the death. They were just like, whatever.
Yeah, they were like really like, it happens and, you know, the gods have said this is going to happen and that's fine. I was like,
oh. So it goes.
Yeah, maybe not the best use of so it goes, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I have some more notes about Lydia. I'm trying to go through them. I guess after this, you know, they say, you know, again, violence is reserved, or violence for killing is reserved for the gods, and, you know, they kick her out back to, you know.
What spurs Lydia into action is that Nomad, who's about to,
take
out her dad's eyes.
Oh, his eyes? I thought he was going to kill him.
Well, yeah, but he was something about, like, his stare, and I think he was gonna, like, take out his eyes. I mean, that probably would kill him, but...
Yeah.
But, like, that's pretty gruesome, you know?
Yeah, no, like, I was rooting for Lydia for, like...
Oh, of course.
It was one of the few times I root for Lydia, but I was rooting for Lydia to, you know, take action and, you know, defeat the Nomads.
The darkness.
But, yeah, they were just like, okay, well... This is not our way. We're going to kick you out after you so nicely said that this is the happiest you've ever been in your life. Bye.
NBD.
and then so she goes crawling back to Ryder because obviously this would happen.
They have a really twisted relationship.
Their relationship is so... I just wrote, ew, their relationship is so creepy. Because it is. I wrote down Ryder can't handle anything because I think he was saying that he could handle anything and I was like, no, you can't. He was giving me Nero realness. You know, remember Nero from the 2009 Star Trek movie? And he's just like screaming and he's like,
yeah.
Remember when it's when Christopher Pike is saying, you know, Romulus isn't destroyed. It's still out there. You can literally go there right now. And he's like, no, it was already destroyed. I know it was destroyed. And it's like, Ryder was channeling that wholeheartedly in his scene. And I was like, okay, stop with your tantrum. Because I just have to laugh because it's literally like Lydia comes crawling back. It's like, I need protection. I need to, you know, protect my father and his people. And then Ryder's like, of course I would. You're my mom. Of course I would do that. And then Lydia's like, but yeah, like, you don't know what you're doing. And then Ryder's like, psych, I'm not going to help you. Screw you, mom. And it's like, wow, they literally, they both like 180'd so hard in like the span of like a couple minutes. It's like, Lydia didn't even try to like curry favor with Ryder. You know what I mean?
She has her pride.
Yeah. I mean, which, everyone in the freaking Armadillo family has their pride, apparently.
But
they're all, but that's their downfall. Like, they're all like that, right? Because they're all like, well, Quinn thinks he knows, you know, how best to run things. And so does Lydia and so does Ryder. And they're all freaking wrong because they're all awful and stupid. But, well, not stupid, but they're all awful. So.
Yeah.
I just watching that scene was so wild to me because I was like, no normal logical person thinks this way. You know what I mean?
You mean Ryder?
No, I mean like both of them when they were like, so Lydia's going in with her end goal being get protection, right? Or protect. Well, I mean, I guess rise back into power, but like main, but she goes into the goal of, hey, can you protect, you know, the cult, yeah, which is more of her being like, can you protect your grandfather? And then Ryder, I guess Ryder was, I don't know what kind of end goal Ryder had in mind, but he seemed pretty amenable to being like, okay, you're my mom, everything's fine. And they totally flipped within the course of a couple of minutes. And I was like, I don't, you know what I mean? I just feel like for people it who felt, seem to have goals, like you seem to not be wanting to make those goals happen.
Yeah, I mean, it felt kind of natural because they both sometimes bring out the worst in each other.
Yeah.
But like, I think Lydia, she went about it wrong, I think, yeah, but she presented a good argument. I think, I mean, obviously Ryder's stupid, so he's never in the right, but Lydia, I mean, I think that was fair and balanced.
No, I'm not saying Lydia's wrong. I'm just saying, why would you say that and jeopardize the whole thing you set up in the beginning of the conversation?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, but anyway, I get it.
I mean, Lydia's done this kind of thing before, right? Where she's kind of like, screw yourself. So, yeah. I mean, it happens. Lydia.
Lydia.
I think the only person we have left now is MK. Unless I'm missing another
plot line. MK and Tilda.
Oh, yeah, MK and Tilda. Sorry. I forgot about that. Yep. Who shall we start off with first?
You decide, lovely lady.
I don't want to decide. Fine. Let's do Tilda, I guess.
Your wish is my command.
I like that we don't know his name. Is it Birdman, Waldo, Walter? Who knows what he's called?
Birdman is a great way to refer to him.
He's Birdman. Yeah. I like how he has a nice new suit befitting of his status. I don't know. I guess he's not. I don't know. He's not a regent, right? Because Tilda is the widow's regent. But he is definitely some high-ranking advisor type guy for the widow.
Right, exactly. He's the one who betrayed Quinn last season. Right. So he has like a position of honor or whatever.
I mean, and clearly he's been around the block. He's an older guy. He knows how these things go. So it would make sense for the widow to take advice from him.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think it's a good call.
They talked about the River King. So I know you were like, oh, you were not going to see him again. But they did name drop him. So maybe he will be back.
They did name drop him. But I still don't think we'll see him again. Frog!
Classic.
Shut up!
Did you listen?
You probably won't for very long.
Okay. I mean, as weird and kind of annoying sometimes, shall we just call him Birdman? Because I find that funnier than Waldo or Walter.
No, definitely do it.
As funny as I... as I sometimes find Birdman, I like how, like, he kind of, the way he acts with, like, people younger than him is just so hilarious to me, because he's always, like, one step ahead. So, yeah. Like, it didn't surprise me when, you know, when he calls Tilda, like, freaking Tinkerbell or whatever.
Yep.
But, like, I kind of like that kind of sassy kind of rapport. He's not some kind of, like, senile, useless character, but, like, did he really just shove Tilda when she was talking to him? Like, that one seemed unnecessary. Like, yeah. Totally unnecessary. Just a side note. Let me see. What other notes do I have on Tilda or the Widow? I don't think I wrote too much more, but I think it's interesting that, like, the Widow's literally, like, the Widow and, Birdman are just like, you know what, let's just go in there, just like, a couple of us just slaughter all the barons, like, let's NBD. Do it. What?
NBD.
Oh, yeah, NBD. Yeah, I'm just like, you really think that's a good idea? I don't know if I have any more notes on them.
Their scenes were pretty self-explanatory. Yeah, I mean, there was one line that Birdman said, which I think I went back and tried to listen to it probably half a dozen times, and I could not make sense of it.
Oh, it I think matter. I heard it, and I just ignored it because I was like, whatever, I'm sure it's not important.
He was just mumbling. I'm like, speak up! But, yeah.
You at least think you could, like, ADR it or something, but whatever.
It does not matter.
You can re-record the line. Let's move on to, I guess, like, our final plotline of the day, which would be MK.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I found his scenes very exciting and visually stunning.
Yeah.
So, huh.
It was so nice. We're getting more answers in these two episodes than we did in the entire first season.
Dang. But true. That's true.
Yeah. It is true.
I loved that, like, mirror room.
That was so cool.
Cool. And it was very much giving me Enter the Dragon, the Bruce Lee film.
I don't know it, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, because there's a scene where Bruce Lee's character ends up in, like, a room full of mirrors like that, and he has to find the villain and, you know, fight him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very that. And I was like, oh, I see you, Enter the Dragon. I see you. I don't know if they're trying to make this a thing, but I wrote down Black Woman of Excellence, because I know Vale was super awesome last season. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he's shaping up to be this season, but it's nice to see that, you know, the master is a woman of color who's awesome.
Yeah, right?
Like,
I didn't even...
That's rare. Yeah. It just feels very rare to see, because really, those are our only two women of color in the show, right? Vale and the master. In terms of main characters, I can't really think of anyone else. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
I wonder
what
that says, that they are some of the smartest or most competent people that we've seen on the screen. Who aren't, you know, crazy dictators or whatever.
Those crazy dictators.
Yeah, I mean, I know Jacoby's a man of color, but, like, he's still alive, right? He survived that confrontation with Quinn. I think.
Well, I mean, we thought he died, but gosh knows. Yeah. He died. That night, Ryder has a reputation of killing two barons, Jacoby and Quinn. I'm not saying
I don't know if it really happened.
Right, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is Jacoby dead? I mean, theoretically you would think so, because Ryder is staying in his mansion, so that'd be a little awkward.
Unless he's hiding underground like Quinn is.
You know, you never
anything
know.
Anything could happen.
With this show, anything could happen.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
I love the lighting in the flashback scene. The first flashback scene where, well, even, the second flashback had a good lighting too. But when MK is in the ship hold and he's looking at all the people he's slaughtered, like, I love that red lighting on his face and, like, just that interplay of reds and blues. In terms of lighting, so good. I wrote down that death seems to be a much bigger deal, or, like, a big deal thematically in this episode. You know? Mm. I mean, I know that's kind of, like, the whole, like, yeah, kill or be killed kind of mentality of the show. But, like, it feels like it was... They, like, addressed it more. Like, you know, MK is kind of like, oh, I've killed innocent people. Like, this is, like, a huge burden on me. And with Lydia, it was all about, you know... humans shouldn't have the power to kill. That should be only for the gods. And then Sunny's all like, oh, I don't kill people on orders or whatever. I have principles and so on. That's and so true. Forth. You know what I mean? And then there was a whole blood theme with Quinn and the baby. So, like...
Well, it's interesting.
I know death is a big part of the show, but I thought they were really pushing it. And, oh, yeah, and then Tilda was like, Walter, whatever the heck his name is, was like, you know, you killed those people and they were defenseless. I agreed with him. Remember I was talking about how I thought that her doing that was like not good, not a good look. Him talking about how
he had a different perspective of both of us though.
Sure, because, sure. Like she went against orders.
Right, that's the whole issue.
Right.
From his perspective. And that makes sense from his perspective.
Right.
But, you know, whatever.
I mean, he used to be Clipper. Let's but there not was pretend the... that he has, like, some kind of moral high ground or anything.
Mm-hmm. But there was that girl. I can't remember what her name is. But the girl who
sold her friends with MK. The blonde girl who's, like, training with MK, who's an abbot or whatever.
Yeah. And so she says that basically all of them have killed before. So that was interesting.
Duh. Like, obviously, most of them probably have killed if they have that same power.
Yeah.
It seems like MK has that power to a very high degree, though. More so than the other ones, right? Because he's the only person that the Master has taken under her wing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he seems to have a stronger power than the others. But it's interesting that, of course, like, she... not the Master, but the young friend, you know, she was brought in when she was very young. You would think that she'd be very sheltered, but she's like, yeah, I kill people too, whatevs.
Mm. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I have any other notes about
MK. So we have MK basically facing himself saying,
oh yeah, that was so cool.
Well, first he doesn't want to go back and do it.
What?
At first, he doesn't want to go back and do it because it was painful or whatever.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure seeing all those people you killed when your conscience was blacked out and this other being was controlling you was freaking awful and disturbing.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah. I don't really have too many other notes on MK. I wonder what's going on with, like, the character that he was talking to last episode.
Yeah.
Was like, yeah, so I thought they were going to do a thing where, you know, he overheard the Master or he either followed them or overheard or something, you know, mm-hmm. the Master and MK talking or training or whatever, and something was going to come from that. I still feel like that may be coming later down the line because he ran away. Also, because that's where it reframed it, right? Because, like, he was saying that he wanted to leave earlier, and then I realized, oh, it was like he was taking that as an opportunity to leave since the Master was gone. Right, and, like, you know, and then the girl's like, oh, they're gonna find him because they always find people who run away eventually, so.
I mean, I feel like that could be kind of foreshadowing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, MK's gonna run away and, like,
they're gonna MK's definitely gonna run away. That's what he did last season.
It's kind of what he's good at.
He did a fairly good job of running away last season, so.
No, I wouldn't say he did a good job. I would just say that everyone who chased him did a bad job.
True.
But I'm glad that we get to see more potentially of the guy who ran away, because I think he's an interesting character and an interesting perspective on, like, the gift.
Mm.
You know, gift in quotations.
Right.
But, yeah, MK has that killer fight sequence with himself.
Oh, so good. That must have been crazy hard to film. I imagine they had a stunt double, but also, because they do need shots of his face, like, I'm just trying to think, how crazy is it? He probably had to learn choreography for, you know, both sides and do both multiple, like, mad props to Mr. Knight for getting that done, because, like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Honestly. It looks awesome. Fantastic. It definitely paid off.
Yeah, it was so good.
And I was really hoping
that we could see MK's mom.
What?
That we could see MK's mom. Because I was getting kind of excited by that prospect. Because I was like, oh, maybe we're going to finally see what she looks like.
Oh, I didn't think that.
No,
I was really hoping that, like, MK wouldn't beat his evil self the first time. Because, like, well, that would be kind of anticlimactic.
He didn't beat him.
I know. I'm glad.
Yeah.
But it was... He lost pretty badly.
It was very disturbing seeing him, like, twitching in, like, the Master's arms. And it's, like... I almost got scared because I was like, is this one of those things where it's happening in his head, but it's also happening physically? Like, we're going to see, like, a bunch of wounds on him or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was getting kind of scared by that prospect. Didn't seem like that was the case, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Oh, I think it was Evil MK, that mm-hmm. tree-hugging move he did.
Oh, that's a classic, like wire work Chinese yep. movie thing, though. I love it.
I was like, yes.
So good.
It was good. Like, they have a lot of gore, and they have a lot of, like,
yeah.
sadness, but in its
gore
heart,
and lots of what?
Sadness.
Oh, sadness. So the audio kind of cut out a little bit, and I thought you said salmon? I was like, gore and salmon? Ew.
Yeah, they have some fresh salmon, and then there's a little bit wild salmon. the Badlands is full of sadness. And, like, all this awful stuff, but the fight scenes are so fun.
So
I mean,
good.
Like, they're not fun for the participants, probably, but, like, for the audience's
perspective. No, some of them enjoy it. You can tell that they enjoys fighting.
Okay, fine. But in general.
Right.
Like, it's not, it's bringing us pleasure.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
It's fun to watch. You know, I just had an awful flashback to, like, was it episode 2 or 3 of season 1, where the widow walks into that bar, and then there's, like, that super weird steampunky thing where, like, the girl has, like, the gears that are sparking on her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just had a horrible flashback to that scene.
Well, anyway. I had, when you said widow walked into a bar, I just imagined her literally walking into a steel bar.
She could, I think she has too much poise for that to happen.
You never know.
It'd be pretty freaking funny.
She just walks right into the ow!
I can't see her doing that because she's just so, you know, she just
in
has
control.
Too much poise for that to happen. But anyway, sorry, totally got off track. But I don't really have any more notes on the show. Do you have any additional things that you wanted to say?
I remember last episode we were talking about, like, do you think that this episode will be better than the last one? Or if, you know, it'll get worse.
Or do you mean the season will be
or
better? Oh, do you mean if the episode or the season? I guess it's
too
early
either.
To say, but...
Right, for the season we really can't say, but do you think this episode is better or worse than the previous one?
I thought it was good. I don't know.
Or it could be the same.
What?
It could be the same if you want to.
I honestly don't. They all kind of blend in my head. I want to say it was a... I liked Baji and Sunny's rapport more in this one. I'm glad we got an explanation to the whole weird Quinn veil situation.
I mean, explanation's a strong word.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, maybe not explanation, but, I mean, starting to get there. I'm not crazy about the intensifying of the gore that seems to be happening this season, but... I'm into it. It didn't hook me like that crazy cliffhanger that happened in the end of the first episode, but it's solid. Like, I want to see, finally, Sunny is freaking wandering around. I guess he's going back into the battle, which is stupid, but whatever. Like, he's at least walking around and not under Quinn's thumb, so that's I'm really excited about that. I'm excited to see... if it's going to happen at all this season, MK, Sunny, Vale, maybe Tilda, like, reunited, you know?
Yeah. But, like, come on. Let's be real. Sunny is somehow going to get back under Quinn's thumb.
Oh,
I don't know how it's going to happen.
I hope not.
But it so is.
Well, I mean, he has his child, so...
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I hate Quinn so much. Please, please go away. I know he's not going to, but, ugh.
I get that the Badlands needs its bad guy, but I feel like the Badlands was more interesting with, like, his gap.
Morally ambiguous characters and, you know, power vacuums and all that.
Yeah, exactly. I found that more interesting than him being like, well, I gotta take back my land.
Ugh. Maybe the tumor will make a reappearance and save us all. I doubt it.
I feel like everyone has just forgotten.
Yeah, I totally forgot that he had a tumor in the first place. Oh. This show.
This show.
I will say, though, I think we're... the show has improved in terms of their writing. We have been critiquing their plot holes and weirdness less and less than we usually have. So, props to keeping up that quality.
Yeah, no, I think the writing's definitely better. Sets are better.
They have more budget, which makes things better. Yeah.
Everything's better. In terms of comparing it to the last episode, I'd say it's pretty comparable.
Yeah.
Like, the time when I watched this episode just flew by. Mm. Like, I was watching it, and all of a sudden it was over. I was like, what?
Right.
Which I think is good. That's a good thing for a show.
Yeah, it's not dragging or anything. Pacing's decent.
With all of the different plots, it kept me engaged. It's
It's
pretty solid right now.
Yeah.
Like, if it stays where it is right now, I mean, look, the popularity of the show has never been great, but, you know, I hope it gains more followers and viewers.
I just hope that we get some kind of resolution, because I'd be pretty sad if they just end it, like, at the end of the season and there's no, I don't know. Like, if it ends, like, right before they get to Azura or something, that would be, like, the biggest cop-out of all time. But I'm sure it's possible.
Yeah. You gotta think this season's gonna end with a cliffhanger, though.
Ugh.
I'm not saying it's good. And then who knows if it's gonna be renewed or not,
right? But...
yeah, you have no idea whether we'll get a season 3. We didn't know we'd get a season 2.
That's true. I'm glad we did, because that finale was not... It needed something after. It really was a letdown.
That was mediocre.
Yeah.
And, you know, AMC has been trying to push Into the Badlands. Like, you know, they're setting it up, like, right after The Walking Dead, I think. And then
they did that last time, yeah.
Yeah. I think Walking Dead just had its finale.
Right.
But when it was on, it was basically sandwiched between The Walking Dead and The Talking Dead, which is
That was the same thing as that they did last time.
Right. They're trying to get people to get engaged and get interested.
Yeah.
And I like that it has a commitment to the show.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
But it's like, how far can that go? Because if the writing and other stuff aren't there, which, I mean, the writing's better, but remember, like, season 1 was kind of like, you know, shaky. So,
you know, could someone start from season 2? I'm not sure. We'll see.
I don't think so. They didn't even reintroduce people. Azra hasn't been mentioned. Like, they didn't do any of the things that they do that they're supposed to do when they try to make the premiere accessible to everyone. Yeah. They didn't really do any of that, so.
That's true.
I don't really buy that. So any other notes on Badlands, or are you pretty much good?
That is it for me.
So, fun things that are occurring is Sense8. The trailer came out the other day. I sent it to Melissa. What did you think of the trailer?
I did not watch it.
You didn't watch it because you were scared of spoilers? Or because I thought you were commenting on the trailer when you wrote back to me. Or were you commenting on something else?
You sent me a few links at the same time. I didn't want to be, like, hyped, and then I knew that the second season isn't coming out for a little while, so I didn't want to be, like, too...
Wait, you mean not for a little while?
Huh?
Did you say not for a little while?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I asked... Sense8 season 2 isn't coming out for a little while.
Right. It's coming out soon, though.
Isn't it June?
Soon. Well, let me look it up. I'm trying to find the answer online. Season 2, when is that happening? The first episode will be screened out of competition during the Series Mania Festival in Paris on April 18th. Then, on April 23rd, the first couple of episodes will be screened in Chicago's
Music Box Theater. That doesn't count.
Okay. It will be released on May 5th. What are you talking about? May 5th is right around the corner.
Yeah. That's not bad. Yeah, I'll watch the trailer then. What do you think?
I was like, what do you mean it's not coming out for a little while?
What do you think?
What?
What did you think?
Of the trailer? I thought it was good. It seemed happier than or more optimistic than I thought it would be. But maybe that's just the Badlands side of me talking.
That's true.
But it seemed, you know, because based on what happened at the end of the last season.
But the Christmas episode was pretty up.
Yeah.
It was pretty kind of optimistic and happy. Yeah. I mean, like, bad things happen, but...
Right.
The tone was definitely happier.
But yes, Sensei's coming back, but we kind of slack on our schedule, so we're not going to be done with Badlands for a while. Unless you want to rotate between Badlands and Sensei, but, like...
We could do that. We'll see.
I mean...
You never know.
We could do it. It'd be fun.
Weirder things have happened.
True. Okay. So thanks for joining us again for this episode. Again, you can find us on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter. And if you can, you know, rate us on iTunes, write us reviews, that would be super great because then more people can learn about the show and hear us. So yeah, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.